Today's Shir Masechet Shabbos Daf Kuf Chaf Ches. We will begin on Daf Kuf Chaf Ches Amud Aleph with the first words of Loyas Tevel. The Mishnah discussed the various items that one, if necessary, can move on Shabbos to make room with Nei Ha'orchim, with Nei Bittel Beis HaMedrash, and the various items that one may not move. So the Mishnah said, Loyas Tevel. You may not move Tevel. Tevel is food from which Trumas and Maisris have not been removed, and therefore it's obviously Muksa because it can't be eaten. Ask the Mar, therefore, Pshita, it's obvious that Tevel is Muksa. Why did the Mishnah have to mention it? Answers the Gemara, like Tzricha, we're referring to a situation where it's Tevel, Tevel, Midrabonim. It's only Tevel, Midrabonim. What is the example? Shazar Ba'atzot Shedin Nakuf, the food was planted, the produce were planted in a flower pot that doesn't have a hole in it. If it doesn't have a hole in it, then it's not considered that it really grew from the ground. And the Torah, when it speaks about the chiv of Maestris, says, Asa ta'asas kol tfuas zarecha hayoytze hasode. It has to come from the ground. This is not considered that it came from the ground. So it's entire chiv of taking Trumas and Maestris. There's only Midrabanan. So we would think that that's not Muksa. Teaches us the Mishnah that it's still considered Muksa. And points out the Rajba. The Gemara, in Masechta Yevamos, teaches us that we can give a child to eat something which is Asur Midrabanan. So if we could give a child something to eat which is Asur Midrabanan, so then why is it Muksa? So the Achronim answer, even though technically one may feed a child something which is asur midrabanan, that doesn't change that it's not something one should do. It's not something that is done. And therefore, the Mishnah is teaching us it's still considered muksa. I saw the Sefer Shabbos Shlomi takes a similar approach. He says that we're learning that under what circumstances are we moving objects for Bittel Beis HaMedrash, Fachnosus Orchim, and as we discussed in our previous year, these are such important reasons. So maybe something which is only Tevel Midrabanan ought not to be considered Muksa and should be allowed to be moved on Shabbos, teaches us the Mishnah that no, it's still considered Muksa. The Mishnah continued saying, V'loy Maiserishin, not Maiserishin, that the Trumas wasn't removed from it. So says the Gemara, Pshita, if the Trumas Maisa wasn't removed from it, it may not be eaten. For as we learned yesterday, the halacha is that when the Levi receives his Maisa Rishon, he has to remove 10% and give it as Trumas Maisa. And until then, it's Tevel. Answers the Gemara, Latzricha Shledima Bekri. The Levi took the Truma, got his Maisa Rishon after the produce was processed, and there was the Truma Gedoyla had not been removed. And as we discussed in yesterday's shir, if the Levi received that Truma, received that Maiserishin before the produce was processed, then the halacha would be that he only has to take off the Trumas Maiser, but he doesn't have to take off the Truma Gedoyla. However, if he got it after it was processed, Shigdimim Bekri, after the truma was processed, and nitlam emenu, shenot emenu, and the trumas meiser was removed, v'loy nitlam emenu, but the truma gedoyla was not removed. And as we discussed in our previous year, madu tema, kadamale rapapa labaya, as we discussed, rapapa asked abaya, that maybe even if it was already processed, the halacha still should be that the Levi only has to take off the trumas meiser, the truma gedoyla he need not remove. And if that's the case, then the halacha would be, if he did take off the Trumas Maisa, it's not Muksa. Kamashmalon. So our Mishnah is coming to teach us to the Shanalei Abaya. As Abaya actually taught in yesterday's shir, that if it was already processed, then not only must the Levi take off the Trumas Maisa, it's also that the Levi has to take off the Truma Gedoyla. And if both of them were not properly removed, then it would still be considered Tevel, which we just learned is Muksa. We learned further, V'loy Maiser Sheni V'Hegdash Shaloi Niftu. Maiser Sheni V'Hegdash that weren't redeemed a muksa. Answers the Mapshita, if they weren't redeemed, they're also to be eaten, and therefore the muksa. Answers the Gemara, like Tzrich, the Niftu, they were redeemed, however, v'loy Niftu kol chasim, they were not redeemed properly. Meiser, the Meiser Sheni, Kshepadai as Agabe Simon, it was redeemed on a slug. Rachmana Amma, the Torah, when it speaks about redeeming Meiser Sheni, uses the words v'tzarta kesa b'yadecha. From there we learn, it has to have money that's mint, a minted coin. And this is not considered a mint, and this is, if it's not a minted coin, even though it has the value, it will not be an effective redemption. Hegdish, Shechilay Gabakarka, was redeemed on real estate. Rachmana Amma, and the Torah when it speaks about redeeming property, redeeming Hegdish for Nosna Kesva Kamloi, something that's movable. And obviously, real estate is not movable and therefore can't be used to effectively redeem Hegdish. V'loi Haluf. The Mishnah said further that Luf is considered Muksa. However, the Mishnah continued, Rav Shimon Gamliel says that Luf can be, is not Muksa because it's food for Arvin, for ravens. Tanabonin, metatlin as a chotzev. We can move chotzev on Shabbos. Chotzev is a type of grass which Rashi explains, and other Rishonim explain, is a grass that is unique, that when it grows straight up. Its roots do not spread up. And therefore, that was what was used to mark off the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, because it's a perfect boundary marker. You don't have to worry about it getting confused. And the reason you're allowed to move the chotzov, because m'nei shemachal tzvoyim, it's fed to deer. V'sachardel, mustard may be moved, m'nei shemachal yoinim, it's fed to doves. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, af metatlan shivri zechuchis, you can move broken pieces of glass, m'nei shemachal lenamius, they used to feed it to ostriches. Omalei Rav Nosson, el ma'ata, you should be allowed to move bundles of vines because it's food that was served to an elephant. So why does Rav Shimon Gamliel allow glass and not vines? Answers the Gemara. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Na'amiyos shrichi, people have ostriches. And because people have ostriches, therefore it's a food. Pilim. But people don't typically have elephants as pets. And since they don't have elephants as pets, therefore, they can't move it because who needs it? Who needs them? Here it says that we're allowed to move mustard because it's a machel for yoinim. In the Mishnah, it said that we're not allowed to move chardo. So how do we reconcile this? So the Rashba and the Ran say that indeed, there's a machloikus, and the Tan of our Mishnah holds that mustard is food for people, and since it wasn't properly prepared, we're talking about raw mustard seeds, therefore it's muksa. Whereas the Tan of the Braisa says that even though it's used for people, it's also used for animal, for birds, commonly used for birds, and since it's commonly used for birds, that's enough to make that it should not be considered muksa. However, that's the way the Rashba and the Ran learn. The Rambam seems to learn differently. He says the Rambam holds that chardol is not considered muksa because it could be fed to birds. The Mishnah said that it is muksa. So the Rambam holds that everyone is talking about according to what was the minig hamokim, what was common where they lived. Where the Tana of the Mishnah lived, they didn't raise birds. They didn't raise yoinim. And therefore, chardol is exclusively used for humans. And if it's not prepared before Shabbos, it's muksa. Whereas the Tana of the Braisa lived in a place where people did raise yoinim. And since they did raise yoinim, the halacha is that it's not muksa because yoinim eat it, the raw mustard. And therefore, even though in the Braisa it seems that Rav Shimon Gamliel is a makel, and Rav Shimon Gamliel says that one can move glass What would Rav Shimon Gamliel hold regarding Chardal? Because in learning our Mishnah, it doesn't seem that Rav Shimon Gamliel is arguing by Chardal. So some say that Rav Shimon Gamliel is going to argue by Chardal as well. However, others say, as we just explained, that since Chardal is used for people, or it's totally in the Minig HaMokim, it depends on what is commonly done in that place, that's why Rav Shimon Gamliel, even though he maybe disagrees by glass, he won't disagree by Chardal. Amar Meima, for who this that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel allows us to move glass, it's only the Islay Namius, a person who indeed has astriges. So since this person has astriges, so he can move the glass because he needs it to feed his astriges. Amram Sheshis, Lameima, says Rav Sheshis Tameima, Elo, according to you, the Kamalei Rav Nosson Rav Shimon Gamliel, Chavil is Marish Yitaltam Neisha Machal Apilin, he said, you're allowed to move vines because it's food served to an elephant. Let's understand what is the case. If this person indeed has elephants, why would anybody suggest that you can't move the vines? You have the elephants, and that's the food that they eat. Ella, how do we understand? Roy, that as long as somebody has food that can be served to the elephant, that's enough that it should be muksa. So hachanami, the same thing when we speak about the glass, it doesn't have to be that the person actually has namios. The fact that he could, that it's roy for namios makes it according to Shimon ben Gamliel not muksa. So comments the Gemara. Amar Abaye, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon, Rav Shmuel, Rav Akiva, Kul Sfirlei, Kol Yisrael b'nei Melachim Heim. They all follow the concept of Kol Yisrael b'nei Melachim. All Jews are considered princes, and there are halach l'maisa ramifications. Rav Shimon Gamliel is Hadamaran, that he just said we're allowed to move food that's served to different birds, even though most people don't have such birds as a pet. But because you technically can have such a bird, that's enough that it should not be considered muksa. Rav Shimon, going back to Gemara, that we learned on Daf Kuf Yod Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara over there discussed the concept of what are you allowed to use to smear yourself on Shabbos. And the Gemara spoke, the Mishnah spoke about rose oil. And the Tanakham said that rose oil is something that's obvious that's being done for refuah. And since it's obvious that it's being done for refuah, therefore it may not be moved on Shabbos. Rav Shimon said, "Kol Yisrael b'nei Melachim heim." Since princes always use rose oil, all Jews are in that category. And since all Jews are in that category, everybody could use rose oil on Shabbos. B'nei Melachim sochem, agav m'seim shem v'rad. B'nei Melachim always use rose oil. So when somebody is using rose oil, it's not obviously being used for refuah purposes by princes. And says Rav Shimon, Kol Yisrael b'nei Melachim heim. Rav Shmuel, Rav Akiva, the Mishnah says, the Tanya, Brisa says, Aresha Yechoshiba Elef Mona. Somebody owes somebody else a serious sum of money. And Velovish Itzdala. And this person who owes the money is wearing a garment, Basmei money, which is a very expensive garment. So the Tanakham says, Mafshitin Aysoi. We take it off him. We sell it. And Mabishin Aysoi, Itzdala Ruyaloi. We give him a coat. Of course, we're not going to leave him without a garment. We're going to give him a garment that befits his status, and the balance is used to pay off his debt. Says the Gemara, Tana Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, but Tana Mishum Rabbi Kiva, Kol Yisrael Ruy Lo Yisrael Itzla. Everybody, all Jews are considered significant, and all Jews are worthy of wearing an expensive cloth. So it's very interesting. Our Gemara just quoted all of these different Tanoim that are subscribed to the concept of Kol Yisrael B'nei Melachim Heim. But the halacha is that whenever the Gemara, we have this kind of wording, two different ways the Gemara could express itself. Here our Gemara expresses itself, Kira Kula Sfira Lahu. And sometimes the Gemara says, Amru Dever Echad. So the Ritva explains, when the Gemara uses the words Kula Sfira Lahu, even though they all follow the same concept, presumably, it doesn't mean that that's the halacha. Because really, what the Gemara is saying is, they're all using the same concept, but they're using this concept in different context, and one doesn't necessarily agree with the other, and that, therefore, is not the halacha. However, when the Gemara uses the wording Omru Dove Echod, what the Gemara means to say, that not only do they have the same concept, but they accept each other's opinion. And since they accept each other's opinion, that becomes the halacha. We learned further. The Mishnah says, Chavile Kash, V'chavile Eitzim, V'chavile Zardim. The halacha is like this. If they were set aside to be animal food, then they may be moved. And if not, they may not be moved. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, Chavile Kash, V'chavile Eitzim, V'chavile Zardim. Im eskina l'machel behema, if they were prepared to be used for animal food, then matatlanoi soy. Then you can move them. Mimlav, if they weren't prepared for that purpose, ain't matatlanoi soy. It's interesting to point out that the Rajba, and the Evnei Nezer explains this Rajba, says that when we speak about these different types of foods that can be used for animal food, so certainly if they were designated for animal food, there's no discussion. They can be used for that purpose. But the Rajba says that even if they weren't designated for that purpose, but you decide to use it for that purpose on Shabbos, then everybody would agree that it is not muksa. Here is a situation where it wasn't designated to be used for that purpose on Shabbos. And therefore the Tanakama, as we just learned, ain't metatlanai some. As long as they weren't designated for animal food, they're considered designated for firewood. And since they're going to be used to burn fire, they're obviously muksa. Shim Gamaliel Omer, Chavilan Hanitolan B'Yarechad, if they can be moved with one hand, Mutl Tatlon, they may be moved and not muksa. B'Shteyidayim, if it takes two hands to move them, Osla Tatlon, they're considered muksa. Continues the Braisa, Chavile Sia Ezev Akronis, different types of bundles of different types of herbs and grass. The Gemara will soon explain each one. Hechnisan le'etzim, if they were brought to be used for firewood, emestakim b'em Shabbos, they may not be moved on Shabbos because they are muksa. However, le'machal behema, if they were designated for animal food, mestapik b'em Shabbos, then you could use them for on Shabbos, then not muksa. Furthermore, teaches us the Braisa, v'koitim b'yad v'oichel, we could break them into small pieces by hand and eat them. Even though, as we learned earlier in our Masechta, on Daf Ayin Dalid on the Beis, that the halacha is that if you break something into small pieces, there's a halacha of toichen. Here, if you're doing it by hand and you're going to eat them, then it's not, as long as you don't use an instrument to break them, then the halacha is that it's not considered an issue of toichen. Furthermore, teaches us the Braisa, umoylel v'oichel, you can rub the pods to remove the seeds, uvachla yimel b'klil harbe, unless you don't rub a lot of them with a utensil, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, because if you're going to remove a lot of them with a utensil, that is considered the melacha of dosh. The Sharetzion in Simen Shin Yud Tesef Katan Yud Aleph discusses is it going to be a melacha d'oraisa or it's going to be a melacha d'rabbanan. Uvach yom v'kli harbe divrei Rabbi Yehuda. V'chamay remel b'rosh etzbosef, you could use the tip of your fingers to remove the pods, to eat the seeds v'oichel. Uvach shalom yom b'yadei harbe, don't do a lot. When you're doing a lot, then it's going to be a problem. Because that's what he does during the week. Became b'misa. And the same halacha applies to a misa. The Gemara will explain what that means. Became a pigam, v'kavishar man tavlinim, and other types of vegetable spices as well. According to the Chachamim, it has to be done with a shinui. And the Gemara is teaching us, this is what the Mishnah Berurah in Simen Shin Yotes Sifkot Nechaf Alf explains, you have to have two conditions according to the Rabbanan to be lenient. One is it has to be done by Shinui, Barashi Etzbaisov, and also you can't do harbe. You can't do a lot. Ask the Gemara, Maya Misa, Ninya. Ninya is mint. Sia, Amar of Yehuda, Tsasri. Ezoiv, Abarta, is a type of a grass. Cornus, Cornishamai, that's something that's called cornus. Ask the Gemara, Vahuda Amalei, Man buy Kurnisa. There was somebody who said who wants to buy Kurnisa Vishtakich, and we saw that Chashi was for sale. So we see that Kurnisa is Chashi. Says the Gemara, correct. Sia is Tsasri, Azov is Abarta, and Kurnisa is Chashi. Itmar, continues the Gemara, Bos Meliach, raw but salted meat, Mutalatatla B'Shabbos, may be moved on Shabbos because it can be eaten. Basa, tuffel, however, raw meat that's not salted. Rav Huna mamutal tatla. Rav Huna says it may be moved because even though it's not edible by human beings, still it doesn't become muksa. Rav Chizda, on the other hand, holds asal tatloi, it's muksa because it's not edible, and therefore, since it's not edible, it becomes muksa. Ask the Gemara, Rav Huna Mamutal Tatla, does Rav Huna say it may be moved, even though it's not edible? Ask the Gemara, for Rav Huna Talmud the Rav Hava. And we know that Rav Huna was a Talmud of Rav. Rav, Krabi Yudas relay, throughout our Masechta, particularly when we've been discussing Hilchas Muksa, Rav Yehuda has always been the more, had the more stricter interpretation of Muksa, and Rav Shimon had the more lenient interpretation. So ask the Gemara, the Rav held like Rav Yehuda. And therefore, if Rav held like Rav Yehuda, how could his Talmud over here, Rav Chizda, be Makel, Rav Huna be Makel, if Rav Huna holds like Rav, who holds like Rav Yehuda, that has a strict interpretation, this like Muksa? Answers the Gemara, Shok Salachila, Savala like Rav Yehuda, something which is Muksalachila, there he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that you can't move a food that you don't intend to eat. But Muksal Tatl, that's when it comes to the halacha of moving it, there a whole like of Shimon that it could be moved. And that means even Rav Huna, that's the Talmud of Rav, holds that you can't eat it because it's Muksa, but it's still allowed to be moved. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. The Ritva, as the Pnei Yeshua says something, it says a different explanation. He says something which is meant to be eaten and now is not edible, it's muksa. Muksa to the degree that you're not allowed to touch it, you're not allowed to move it. But something which wasn't a food, so that type of muksa holds Rav Huna is a more lenient type of muksa, and therefore that type of muksa is easier that we're allowed to move it on. We're allowed to move it. So it means if it was a food, it's going to be a more serious type of muksa. If it's not a food, it's not that type of a muksa. Others, however, explain that muksa for eating is a more serious type of muksa because the Torah wants all food to be prepared before Shabbos. And if the food isn't prepared before Shabbos, then it's muksa and it may not be moved on Shabbos. Whereas if the food is not meant for eating, so that type of food, since it's not meant for eating, so that isn't such a serious type of muksa. If it isn't that such a serious type of muksa, the halacha is that we could move it on Shabbos. Says the Gemara. Rechizda ma asla tatla. Rechizda said that raw meat, however, may not be moved. Ask the Gemara, Rav Yitzchak bar Ami, Ikle Be'er of Chizda, V'haza hu ba'avza, he saw a slaughter dak, that would come matatla m'shim shalatula, that was just being moved from the sun to the shade. We know that an item which is inherently muksa may not be moved from the sun to the shade, so how, because it's l'tzarech davar muksa, and we're not allowed to move muksa under those circumstances. So he said, "V'amar Rav Chizda, chisaron kischa zehacha." There was a financial loss, And therefore, he was lenient. But how could he be lenient? He's saying that any meat that's not edible becomes muksa. Answers the Gemara, Shani bar Avz of the Chazalobza. You could chew the raw meat, and since it's edible, therefore, it's not muksa. There's a very interesting shaila. There are Vosna Zatzal, the Shaila Sachuva Shevet Alevi, Chayla Gimel, Simon Chav Test discusses. If you have meat in the freezer, is that meat muksa? So he says that since we obviously don't eat raw frozen meat, we don't eat it, we don't serve it, so it's considered like a rock, it's considered like a stone, and therefore the halacha is, he says, that it's muksa. And you're not allowed to take out a raw piece of frozen meat from the freezer. The question comes up, if you want to take it out for some reason, or you want to move it in your freezer because you want to get to something else that is that muksa, this would be a very serious issue. You can't just move it according to this psak. Continues the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. Dog meliach, raw salted fish, mutl tatla. The halacha is, it may be moved on Shabbos because it's edible. Dag tofel, but raw unsalted fish, osl tatla, can't be moved on Shabbos because it's not edible. Basar, but when we speak about meat, bein tofel bein meliach, whether unsalted or salted, mutl tatloi, it may be moved on Shabbos because it's edible to people. Which is a very interesting question. How can we say, the Rishonim discuss, meat that's unsalted may be eaten? Isn't the halacha that all meat, of course, to be eaten, we have to salt it to remove the blood? So therefore, Tosfos over here, Divrei HaMaskil, the Chazi, says from here there's a raya that you're allowed to eat raw, unsalted meat, and there's no concern of dam. Because all the dam is in the body of the meat, and therefore something that's in the body of the meat is not considered the Isra of Achilas dam. And there are many Rishonim, and the Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya, Simon, Samach, Zayin, Sif Aleph, and Sif Beis, indeed agree with Tosfos. The Rambam disagrees, and the Rambam says that of course meat that's not salted, even if you're eating it in a raw fashion, is osur. How are we going to understand our Gemara, asked the Aruch HaShulchan, according to the Rambam? So he says that in those days, we don't do this at all, there was another way of dealing with salt, and that was by putting it into vinegar, and that would keep the salt in place. And therefore, something which is put in place, something that went through tzmisa, that could be eaten raw, unsalted. The Aruch HaShulchan also, in Yerideya Simen Samach Zayin, Sif Tes and Sif Yud, in trying to explain this Gemara, according to the Rambam, says that the Rambam is going to differentiate between the meat of a poultry and the meat of a bird and the meat of an animal. And the Rambam is going to say that the meat of an animal may never be eaten even raw when it's not salted. Our Gemara, which is lenient, is referring to bird meat, where the Rambam is going to perhaps be lenient if it's unsalted and eaten raw. Tana Rabbanan, the Taltan, as a tzomus, we may move bones, neshamachal klovim, for it can be served to dogs. Basa tefuach, we can move spoiled meat, neshamachal chayi, they used to feed it to the chayis. Mayim magulim, they would never drink water that was left uncovered. There was a concern that perhaps a snake drank from it and deposited its venom in that steak, in that water, because when they shiruin l'chasol, they used to feed it to cats. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Omer, kol atzman osel l'shehoson, such water may not be kept in the house, m'nei sakana, because they're a sakana, and therefore they shouldn't be kept in the house. Says the Mishnah, in learning this Mishnah, we need to know that everybody is in agreement that living things are considered muksa, because they're not considered kalim, they're not considered something that you're allowed to use on Shabbos, as the Gemara Masechta Beis Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis explains. The Gemara goes on to explain that you're not allowed to use an animal on Shabbos because we're afraid that if you're going to use an animal, you're going to ride an animal, and you may rip off a stick to hit the animal. And therefore, the Gemara says that all animals and birds are muksa. It's interesting to point out that there is a question that what's going to be halach if somebody has an animal, a bird, as a pet. So Tosfos in our Masechta on Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis Divrei HaMaskil Hoch V'Mayaskinen quotes the Shita of Rabbeinu Yosef that if a chick, they used to have these small chickens that were used by children as a pet, it's not muksa. However, Tosfos quoting our Mishnah shows that our Mishnah, as we're about to learn, clearly indicates that all animals and birds are muksa under all circumstances. The Marach Arzurua discusses if somebody has a parakeet, is that considered muksa? And he seems to be maybe makel, but then he quotes the Rosh, that the Rosh says that it is considered muksa. The only type of animal that I saw the Paiskim are lenient about when they speak about hirchas muksa in animals and pets is a seeing eye dog, because that of course is so much more necessary for the person who's using them to be able to work, the blind person to be able to walk on Shabbos. So says the Mishnah, koifenes asal fnei reichim, we could invert a basket in front of the chicks, kedei shielu v'yardu, that they should be able to go up and down from this basket. And even though we learned early in our Masechta on Daf Mem Gimel, Ein Kli Nittel El Tzarech Davar Nittel, the halacha is here we're seeing that we don't follow that psak, and we can take a keli even if it's for the purpose to be used by something that's muksa. And we learned, Reb Yitzchok asked that it's Reb Yitzchok's opinion that Ein Kli Nittel El Tzarech Davar Nittel. How will Reb Yitzchok understand our Mishnah? So Gemara there explained that we're referring to a situation where somebody picked it up for a permitted purpose, Letzarech Gufoy U'Mekaymai, and once he picked it up, Letzarech Gufoy U'Mekaymai, the halacha is that you're allowed to put it wherever you want. But the Rishonim ask, but when we put this sal in front of the bird, isn't this Mevatel Kli Mechanai? As we're going to learn in the Gemara. So the Rashbi explains that birds don't stay on that on a long-term basis. And since birds don't stay on the basket a long-term, it's not considered mevatel kli mechana. Tanagoyla shebarcha, if a hen escaped, doichnoi soy, we could push her, achetikonis, until she re-enters the chicken coop. Medadin agolim soyochim, we could help calves and young donkeys walk. Isha medadis benot, a woman can help a young child walk. You can only help your child walk if he can walk that much by himself. They could pick up one foot in front of the other. Avil im hayigayru, if he only could drag his feet, then the mother may not move him, because as we learned earlier in our Masechta, even though there's a concept of ein kli nittel, that of Chai Noises Atzma, we only apply the concept of Chai Noises Atzma by something that could work by itself. However, here, this child is unable to walk by itself. Therefore, we can't apply the concept of Chai Noises Atzma. There is a Machloikus Achroinim. If you have a child that's unable to walk by himself, and therefore, as we just learned, the mother may not carry him in any fashion, because we don't say chai naisa atzmai, to what degree is that applied? Some say it's agreed to the point that it's an issa deraisa. Some say it's only going to be an issa derabanan. Says the Gemara, Amr Yehuda Merav, behemah shenafal amas hamayim, an animal that fell into a stream of water on Shabbos, and it can't get out. Mevi karm v'kastas, the halacha is you could bring pillows and cushions, and place them under that animal, so she could step on them and climb out. The mouse also, and if the animal is successful in getting out, then fantastic. Meisvei,
Ask the Gemara, the Braisa says, Behemish nafla masamayim, an animal that fell into the stream of water, oisle panosa bim kaimai, you should support it wherever it is, befilsh loy tomas. So it shouldn't die of hunger. Ask the Gemara, what do we see from that Braisa? Panosa in, we could supply it with food where it is. However, karm vakastas loy, we can't just give it karm vakastas to stay there. And the reason we can't give it karm vakastas to stay there is because we're putting the keli there on a permanent basis. And it says, Gemara Lakasha, Hada Efshe B'Panosa, if the animal could survive there, so we should just supply it with food and not do anything more. Hada Efshe B'Panosa, but if the animal cannot survive there, Efshe B'Panosa in. Biloy, but if it can't, maybe Karim Kasim Nei Techtaya. Ask the Gemara, but how could we do so? Isn't it by putting the pillows there, so we're leaving them on a permanent basis. And most Rishonim say that therefore it's considered a situation of binyan. Other Rishonim say it's considered soiser. Answers the Gemara, Kesavar, this Rav obviously is of the opinion that the iser of mevatel kli mechanoi is an iser derabonon. Tsar bal chayim, leaving the animal in such a situation, is tsar bal chayim, is an issa deraisa, and also deraisa, the consideration of not leaving an animal in such a situation, is a, you can't, the deraisa supersedes the rabbanon. So from here we see that tsar bal chayim is an issa de, is an issa deraisa. And therefore, the Rishonim say that, for example, we're allowed to milk a cow, even though it involves disha, and we're not allowed to drink that milk, but we're allowed to do so on Shabbos because of the important consideration of Tsar Bal Chaim. Where does the source for Tsar Bal Chaim come from? So some Rishonim say, the Torah says, as of Taz of Ima, if you see an animal is overloaded, you have to do whatever you can to help it. So you see, the Torah is concerned for Tsar Bal Chaim. Others say the concern comes from Leisach Shem Shor, that comes from Leisach Shem Shor Bedishon. The halacha is that you're not allowed to muzzle an animal while it's working. Why may you not muzzle an animal? Because it's in pain. The question that I saw that the Shas Tshuvas Chavis Yor discusses is there a din of Tzar Bal Chayim by human beings? One can make the argument that there certainly is Tzar Bal Chaim by people. If we see that the Torah was concerned about Tzar Bal Chaim by a person, by an animal, certainly the Torah was concerned about Tzar Bal Chaim by a human being. And that, I found, is also the opinion of the Rashba. I do have to have a say that this question, if Tzar Bal Chaim is a deraisa or derabbanan, is a machloikis rishonim. The Rif and the Nemuki Yosef say that Tzar Bal Chaim is an Issa Daraisa. The Rambam also feels that way. However, the Menches Chinuch says that the Rambam holds that Tzar Bal Chaim is not an Issa Daraisa. In fact, the Gro mentions that there's a steer in the Rambam who, if Tzar Bal Chaim is Daraisa, what the Rambam opinion is, the Ramah in Choshe Mishpat Simon Reish Ayin Beis Siftes clearly teaches us to that the halacha is that Tzar Bal Chaim is an Issa Daraisa. And therefore I saw a number of interesting tshuvas around this subject. Rav Adya Yosef Zatzal, the Shas Tshuvas Yechav Adas, Chel Gimel Simen Samech Vov, discusses if somebody's allowed to go watch a bullfight. And he says that certainly if we see that there's an issue of Tzar Bal Chaim, so seeing how animals hurt each other, one should not participate in such a situation. And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, in fact, says that one should not kill an animal or hurt an animal only in a situation where there's a constructive purpose for doing so. He says, even an animal that killed another person, the halacha is you're not allowed to kill that animal unless Bezdin Paskin, a Bezdin of 23 Dayanim, Sanhedrin. We have to
feel for animals. There's a tshuva in the Noida B'Yehuda, in Noida B'Yehuda Tanyana, Yerudei Simen Yud, where he discusses, are Jews allowed to go hunting? So he says that certainly a Jew should not go hunting, and for two reasons. First of all, it's dangerous, and you're not allowed to do something which is dangerous. And second of all, it's Tzar Baal Chaim. And we're seeing that, as we just quoted, most Rishonim hold that Tzar Baal Chaim is an Issa D'Raisa. However, on the other hand, to go visit a zoo to see the animals, the Trumas Adeshin is quoted that he went to see a zoo on Shabbos even. And the Chidor says that he was once in London and he went to see different types of animals to show the godless, the greatness of Hashem, all the wonderful creatures that Hashem created in his world. Continues the Gemara. Tanish Gael Shabarcha, we learned in our Mishnah if a chicken ran away on Shabbos, we could push her. Says the Gemara, Doichen in, we could push this chicken, Madadan Loy, but we can't help her walk. Tanina Lahoda Tan Rabbanan, our Gemara supports, says the Gemara, what we learned in a Braisa, but Dadadan Behemoth Chayas for Oipa Chotzer, we could help an animal or bird walk in the Chotzer, Avaloyas a Tanagoyalus, but not a chicken. Ask the Gemara, Tanagoyalus my Tamaloy, why are we treating chickens differently? Answers the Gemara, Omar Abai Mishim the Makafya Nafsha, because when you grasp her wings, she's going to try to lift herself off the ground. And therefore, you're not only helping her walk, but you're actually carrying the chicken. And of course, carrying a chicken, which as we spoke about earlier at the beginning, is muksa, is also on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Tani Chada, we learned the one b'raisa, we can help different animals walk in the chotzer, avalei b'shus rabim. Furthermore, v'tisha b'datatim b'nesbanah, Rishus Rabbim, she could even help her push her child walk in the Rishus Rabbim. Says the Gemara, Tanya Idach, but we learned in a different Braisa, Ein Oikrin Behem of Chai Vaipachotzer, we can't lift an animal in the Chotzer, Avadoichon Oisom She Yichnesu, we could push them that they could enter into their cages. So I asked the Gemara, Hogu Fakasha. The second Braisa seemingly is self contradictory. Amrit, first, the Braisa says, "Ein oikrim." We're not allowed to lift the animal off the ground, which means you can't lift it off. However, av dedude medidin, to push it is permissible. Hada amrit, but then that very same Braisa taught us, "Doichnein," we can only push it, but medadidin is also. Answers the Gemara, Amar Baya, the Sefer that says that you're not allowed to help it walk, is talking about the Tanagoilus, which we just said, by a chicken, there's a special consideration because we're afraid that the chicken will lift itself up and you will end up carrying that chicken on Shabbos. Amar Baya, Haiman the Shochet Tanagoilus. If somebody's shechting a chicken, it's important that he should press the legs into the ground, inami nedel le medel, or lift it entirely off the ground. Because if not, if the Dilma Monach Le'Latufer Ba'ara, because we need to be concerned that it's going to jump up as you're trying to shecht it, V'Ok Le'Lasimonim, one of the serious considerations, we learned the Masechta Chulin, that disqualifies a Shechita, is Akira. If the Simonim weren't cut by the Shechit, they were moved out of their place. And if the chicken's not going to be held in a way that it's going to be firm, and that otherwise we have to be concerned about Akira. Says the Mishnah, Eim Ayaldin as Behema B'Yontif. We're not allowed to deliver an animal on Yontif, Av Mesadin. We could help in its delivery. And the reason is, going back to what we discussed at the beginning of our Masechta, the way most Rishonim explain, it's the Isser of Tircha on Shabbos. We're not allowed to overly exert ourselves on Shabbos. Others say that it's Makav Patish, it's a concern of Oikadova Megiduloi. The Mishnah says, Yontif. What's going to be the halacha
on Shabbos. So the Rosh's opinion is that we could be the Tar's opinion is that we could be lenient. The Rosh has a Shaila, and the Taz Paskins, since as we just explained, it's an Issa D'Rabbanan, we could be lenient even on Shabbos. However, this discussion is about animals, but we could deliver a child on Shabbos. We could call a midwife from any place. And we do whatever we need to do to be mechal Shabbos for the sake of a child being born safely. The kashrus of Satibur, we're allowed to tie the umbilical cord of the newborn child on Shabbos. Rav Yossi Omer, not only are we allowed to tie it, but we're even allowed to cut it. The kotzer chamila, and everything that needs to be done for a mila may be done on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Ketzim Masadin, how do we help the animal have its baby on Yontif? The newborn baby, as it comes out, you're allowed to catch it so it shouldn't fall to the ground. You're allowed to press the mother's stomach. Says the Gemara Tanya Kavasi Rabbi Yehuda. There's a brisa that supports Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Ketzim Sadin. What does that mean? You're allowed to catch the child that shouldn't fall on the ground. We could blow into its nostrils to clear the nasal passages of mucus. We could give the mother's udder that it should be able to nurse. We had special rachmanis on a kosher animal that was born on Yontif. Ask them, what does that mean? Hechi Ovid, Amar Baya, maybe Bul Shemelech, they would bring a fist full of salt. They would put it into the mother's womb. The mother should remember the pain that it went through in having the baby. And it will have pity on this newborn baby. We could dash the water from the afterbirth on the baby. And that will also cause that the mother will have rachmanus on the baby. However, says the Gemara, the dafka tahara, that was only said by a kosher animal. Ava tameya, by a non-kosher animal, loy, my tama, tameya loy merach gevalada. Very interesting. The Gemara says the non-kosher animals naturally have more rachmanus on their babies than kosher animals. And if on the other hand, the merach gevalada, if this animal is pushing away its baby, loy makarva, nothing will help to make it have help. So we learned in the Mishnah, Miyaldin Asi'isha. We're allowed to help a woman have a baby on Shabbos. Says the Mar Michti, Tanala Miyaldin Asi'isha, the Karnala Chacham Makam Makam, we're allowed to do anything to deliver the baby. We're allowed to call the midwife. So ask the Gemara, so when the Mishnah added the words, O Mechalin Asi'ishabbos, there will allowed to also be Mechalin Asi'ishabbos, L'masui Mai, what's it coming to teach us? Answers, the Gemara L'suyu Ha'da Tanar Abonin. And Ma'ayis Tzrichel in there, if the woman giving birth needs a lamp, Chaver Tala Madlekas La'as Aner, her friend can light the lamp for her. The Ma'ayis Tzrichel Shemen, if she needs oil. So the halacha is, L'mechal Mevin L'Hashem B'yad, you can bring oil in the hand by smearing it on the hand, and then you'll have oil. If you don't have enough oil that way, she carried in her hair. And if that's not enough, so here we see that when it comes to Chil Shabbos, the halacha is that we should try for Chayla, we should try to do it in the least, in the way that involves the least Chil Shabbos, which is a big question. When we say that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for Sakonas Nefashis, the Mishnah Berurah has a long discussion. Is it the Chuya or Hutra? From here we see that it's the Chuya. It's not something that's permissible. It only should be done in the least passable manner. And it's a Machlokes Rishonim. What is the Halacha? So according to the Rishonim that say that Chil Shabbos for Chayil is the Chuya, this is a fantastic Raya. But even according to the Man D'Amrim that hold that it's Hutra, they want to say there's a difference between a woman having a baby,
which is not really sakonas nefashis. It's natural and normal for women to have babies versus a real choyla. Amamar, imayse tzrich l'ner, chaver ta medlekes l'sner. If she needs a candle, we're allowed to do it. Ask the Gemara, pshita, we just learned that you're allowed to do anything on behalf of a choyla. Answers the Gemara, l'tzricha, the woman having the baby is a suma, is blind. She doesn't see anyway. Usher. So why should I be allowed to put on the candle? Obviously, we're referring to a situation where the midwife could see. So why are we allowed to put on the light? Kamash Milan, it helps her mind be at rest. Savra, because this woman, even though she's blind, yikamidi, if there's a reason, if there's anything that's going to come up, if there's light, my friends, the midwife will see and be able to take care of me properly. I asked the Mefarshim, why don't we just tell her we put on a light and not really put on the light? The Magen Avraham answers, asked this question, answers the Magen Avraham, we're referring here to a situation where the woman is not totally blind and she could tell if that there is no light and therefore that wouldn't be mutter. The Paiskim discuss a number of interesting shaylos. Ramosha, the Shas Chuvs Igris Moshe, Chelik Aleph Simen Kuf Lamed Beis, discusses where a woman is going to the hospital to have a baby, and the ambulance is taking her, and she wants her husband to come along. May the husband go along because of Chil Shabbos. So he says that if the woman, as the Gemara here teaches us, is going to be more comfortable with the husband being going to be there, then the halacha is that he may go along. The Shas HaTshuva Tzitz Eliezer in Chelik Yud Gimel Simen Nun Hei discusses a situation where a woman is having child as going into labor. And there are two doctors. One doctor, you don't need to involve any Chil Shabbos in calling the doctor. And there's another doctor that is not nearby. And in order to call him, you will have to be Mechal Shabbos. So what's the halacha, discusses Rav Moshe. Should I just use the doctor that's nearby? Or could I even use the doctor that involves Chil Shabbos? So says the Tzitz Eliezer, that since, as we just learned, when we speak about a woman having a baby, there's a consideration of Yisuve Data, of her feeling comfortable. And if this woman feels more comfortable with this doctor than with the other doctor, that's all included in the concept of Yisuve Data, and she could call the doctor even though it involves Chil Shabbos.